You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
That time on our annual broadcast calendar once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is Ladies Night once again on TPC, the first of our special events on that annual calendar. This is the Valentine's Day broadcast for the evening of Saturday, February the 12th, 2022. This is a show we look forward to, a show we've been doing now for a few years. And so what's going to happen tonight? Very special presentation during which an outstanding collection of all female guests will be joining me to offer helpful advice on dating, traditional roles for women at home and in politics, building strong marriages, and raising healthy families. That's what we're going to be doing tonight. And I have handpicked each of the six ladies that will be participating. And I've got to tell you, I am very pleased with the individual topics that they have selected to bring to your attention tonight. But first, before we get into all of that, of course, we focus on the political. And I am equally pleased with the way we have started out this year here on the radio program with the different guests and the different subject matter. Some subjects we have been talking about now for nearly a year. Some are relatively new manifestations and occurrences. But, of course, poll after poll suggesting that whites are developing somewhat of a sense of racial reality and solidarity. That's good news. The truckers in Canada, Paul Fromm was great last week breaking that down. They have paralyzed their government. All right. The establishment media's credibility here in this country is below zero with half the nation. Joe Rogan, he did cuck a little bit and he apologized. And look, Joe, let me tell you, no retreat, no surrender, no apologies. That's the motto around here. Don't apologize. Don't ever apologize. Never apologize to your enemy. But Joe Rogan, the popular podcaster, has been exposed for using the dreaded N-word, and there was some compilation of him saying the N-word numerous times on his podcast. Now, this is one of the most popular podcasters in the world, and he has a variety show, although he does tackle politics, and in many times it overlaps our own. But they, of course, those who wished to censor him brought this out. And let me tell you something, that would have been the instant death knell of anyone just as recently as a couple of years ago. But now so many of the general public, including celebrities, are defending him. Not only are they defending him, I believe it was one of these other streaming platforms offered him $100 million to leave Spotify. You heard about the Spotify controversy where some of these washed up music has-beens are demanding that Spotify remove their music if they don't take down Joe Rogan. Now, they were mainly upset with Joe for his positions on vaccines and mask mandates and things like that. But then they found what they thought would be the silver bullet, his use of the dreaded N-word. I mean, we're so juvenile, we can't even say the word. We have to, like kids, N-word. But anyway, no, not only has he not been taken out, he is thriving because public opinion is changing. The ADL is even getting publicly ridiculed by milquetoast conservatives for redefining racism. We talked about this last week as a whites-only disorder. Now, these cucks like Glenn Beck, we talked about this with Keith last week, they would have never dared mock the ADL as recently as 5 years ago. But things aren't easy for the Jews as they once were. Many young Democrats are against what's going on in Israel. I mean, I know they have this Captain Ahab mentality where they hate whites so much and they want to destroy the white whale at all costs, even if it kills them. But things are changing. And you see even one sociopathic politician after another now speaking out about things being anti-white. This is just, again, something that's happened just over the course of the last few months. But I always said that that would happen. I always said that would happen once it became safer and easier and the more rewarding thing to do. Now, the problem is going to be when they take the credit for all the work that people like us have been doing over the dull day-in, day-out work that this movement has required. But yes, they are coming. But we have to safeguard. When the balkanization here occurs, we don't want to end up with Ted Cruz and Alan West et al. As our new leaders. But overall, there is something in the air. I'm not a fool. Our problems are legion. All of this can be put back in the bottle. The odds are still very much against us demographically as well as politically. Yet still, all of this anecdotal stuff is noteworthy. The winds may be beginning to shift, as I shared in an email to a dear friend just a couple of days ago. But we're putting politics aside tonight. That's the standard fare of any given program here on TPC. We're putting that aside tonight, and we're going to focus on the family. What is the old saying? Politics flows downstream from culture or something like that. In order to fix our nation, we have to first fix our family. The politics of it all will then correct itself. And so that is why we have set tonight's show aside to talk about raising those healthy families. And we've got the backbone of any given family, the women, the wives, coming on tonight. You're going to hear from some of my favorites, longtime dear friends of the show, supporters of the program, and leaders in their own right in some cases, such as Sarah Dye of Schooner Creek Farm. She's going to get things started here in just a few minutes at the bottom of this, our first hour, and then others as well, listener favorites like Kim and Courtney and Janice and Lacey Lynn will catch up on everything that they're doing. But listen, it's not just talking about, yes, we're going to talk about, you have to couple up, right? You have to find mates. You have to pair up in order to form this family nucleus that is so conducive and so helpful when raising children, to have a mother and a father on the same page and pulling together and working together as a complementary unit. Obviously with the man at the head of that equation, but the wife doing the roles that only she can as well. And it's a perfect system, almost as if God made it that way. But we'll be talking to these ladies about not just pairing up and love and romance, but yes, this is Valentine's Day weekend after all, so that will be touched on as well. But I think you'll be quite happy with the way this show is going to play itself out tonight, and the variety of topics that they go into building families and safeguarding one family against such dangers as radical feminism. Janice bought a book and read a book and took notes. These ladies that you're going to be hearing from tonight have really done a lot of preparation for their roles, and they're each going to be on for two segments apiece. And anyway, if you can't tell already, I like the novelty of this show, this one single installment that we have each year to have the ladies' night. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And but before we start all of that, the one special lady will be joining me, one lady special to me above all the rest that will be on, and they're all special to me in their own ways. We'll see if you can figure out who that might be over the course of this next break, and then we'll hear from her, and then we're going to get started tonight. Busy show, fun show, exciting show. Happy Valentine's Day weekend, everybody. We'll get going right after this.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Girls tonight, but the first one you're going to hear from is my girl. My wife is with me tonight, as she's been with me behind the scenes for, longer than this show's been on the air, and that's nearly two decades. And on the Valentine's Day show especially, I asked her last night, I said, you know, we've got all of these ladies coming on. I'd like for you to come on for a segment at the beginning of it all, if that would be okay. And she was, of course, readily able to do that. And so I just want to thank her in front of the audience and everybody else tonight. There would not be a political cesspool without the support of my wife. That's just all there is to it. You have to have a balance at home with what you're doing publicly and what your work and what your calling is. And so, as I've said before, she said, well, you said this last year. I said, well, not everybody tuned in tonight might have been listening last year. And if they were, they can certainly hear this again. Every mail out we've ever done, every bit of behind the scenes support that I've needed to keep this thing going, she's had a hand on. And I mean, not just in spirit, but literally a hand on. And when it comes to putting the stamps on the letters and stuffing the envelopes and sealing them and all of that, she's done the really monotonous and difficult work that it's taken to keep this going. She's been a partner in every way that somebody could be, in any way that a woman could be to a man. She has been to me. I met her when she was 15 years old, and here we still are. All these years later, I love you. Happy Valentine's Day.
That's so sweet. That's so sweet. I love you too.
Well, we were talking before, and you know, you were saying, well, all the other ladies can relate to that too, and that's okay if they can. And that is the juggling of everything. The juggling.
Yes, it's a lot. But I'm proud to be able to stamp these envelopes and help mail out all of these letters to all the fans, and I'm honored to be able to do that. You provide for us, and you love me the way that God's called you to love me, and I couldn't be more honored to have a husband that's just so gracious and I love you, and I couldn't be more proud and like I said, blessed to have a husband like you. That's so rare nowadays, and I know how great my life is, and I'm honored to be able to sit beside you and make sure that this show flows the way that it's supposed to, and the fans get what they need, and I get what I need.
Well, and what she needs, this isn't scripted, but she is getting a nice dinner after the show tonight in reward for all these things she's saying. Well, I got to ask you this. Over all these years, you've been around, and I don't want to say tagged along in like a demeaning way, but you've been with me. I mean, you've been with me to all of these things. But the point, you've met all of these people. You've met so many people in the audience. What would you say to the people listening about your impressions of the friends? And some of them have really become, and some of the ladies tonight, in fact, have become really life partners in a way of what we're doing, what they're doing with their families. And there's a synchronicity and a flow that we have.
The term tag along is perfect because I do love to tag along. I do not like to be the front row. I do like to be behind the scenes, and that is okay with me. I love it. But the people that we've met along the way are seriously the best people I've ever met. I mean, some of these women.
Well, just the ones we're having on tonight. So
some of the women that we even have on tonight, I text on a regular basis for counsel and support. And I mean, I really don't think that some of the seasons of my life that I've gone through that I couldn't have gone through without the encouragement and wisdom of the women who have come before or have already experienced these things. But the people who we've met through your show are like family to me.
Now, and obviously you're talking about Kim and Lacey and Courtney and Janice.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody on tonight. But
there's others that
obviously don't want
their name spoken, but there's lots of other women that I have good relationships
with. So you know how we're described in the press, and you know how the people who listen to this show are described, and what, you know, that these families are backwards. How would you describe the families? You know, the ladies are one thing, but you've seen these families, their husbands and their children.
Wholesome and kind and it's crazy that they can be spoken the way that they are. It's just everything that God designed families to be, and they're talked about like they're these evil groups of people, and it's absolutely crazy to me.
Folks, when you meet someone in their teenage years, as I did my wife, maybe people better than me are thinking, well, I wonder what kind of mother she'd be, but you're not thinking that. When you're a teenager and in your early 20s, you're thinking, you know, my God, that girl looks beautiful and I want that. But I got lucky in so much as she was very beautiful and is still very beautiful.
Come on.
I really don't know how you look that good in your 30s. I was talking to a friend the other day and he said, you know, some women are just, they look so good it's hard to look at them. Or it hurts you to look at them. Well, that's you, even still in your 30s, like
that's
there's a cheat code going on
there's
here.
There's very
well, anybody
nice
who's met you could attest to that. But
well, you know that
I
makes
got a
me
question.
Blush.
You know, I got to say that. I don't
you
have
know
to say
I don't
that.
Like all, you know,
she hates to be praised. She hates to get flowers.
Like
she hates to get chocolates. She hates to be praised.
Not that I don't love the action behind it. I just don't like to spend the money.
But anyway, I brought all that up to ask you this. Some people would say you have these ideas, you can't get an attractive, high quality mate unless you go the way of the world. What would you say? To people who are saying you can't get an attractive quality mate unless you trim your sails, saying that you can't find an attractive woman if you're a man with these beliefs, or if you're an attractive woman.
Well, obviously, that's untrue. I just have really high standards for myself, and I know what kind of husband God calls for us to seek, and I'm not really seeking one that's, you know, desiring the world's approval.
Well, that's something we've talked about this over the years, of course. Now, you always said, hey, you know, because you could have had anybody you wanted, but you like somebody that was driven. You could have. I know you don't like me saying this, but I'm going to brag on you publicly. You brag about the things that are important to you, do you not, ladies and gentlemen? But you said, hey, this guy's driven, this guy's
yes,
somebody I want to get to know more. And you picked up on that the first day we met.
It was important to me to have a man that knew what he wanted, that was very headstrong and knew the things that were important. And the place that I met him was in the house of the Lord. And that was, you know, above all, number one to me. I wasn't raised in church, but when I was introduced to the Lord, obviously that became my foundation and my drive for everything in my life. And when he was standing there in those cute little khaki shorts in the choir room, he was just so incredibly handsome. And the fact that he was there to drive the youth was just so special, because you don't normally meet a man that's grounded in the church and comes in on a weekend at that age. You know, most of them are partying and chasing after girls who are wearing too little clothes. And he's here, you know, helping his pastor drive a bunch of kids to the church. And that just was attractive to me. That was the very first thing that was attractive, is that you loved the Lord. And that was what I wanted. That was number one, checked off my list. Then you were handsome, checked off my list. You were kind and your words were gentle. And it wasn't this awkward conversation about worldly things. It was perfect.
Well, it was one thing that I really have enjoyed about our relationship is that we have had definable seasons of life, because yes, we met so young. So we had the time that we had a few years to date, and then we had a few years after we were married to have that fun, and then start our family and have that season. And, you know, a few years at each different station, and it has been a lot of fun. But as you said, instead of going doing what other people that age might have been doing,
you know,
when she was 16, she was working James Edwards for state representative booth at the local carnivals and things like that. She has been a part of it since before the show ever began. And happy and thankful to have a helper like that, raising my kids, well, homeschooling my kids, doing the laundry, cooking the meals, making this show
go. I've been proud to do it, like really proud to do it. Honored to be your wife, and honored to be and do the wifely duties that I've been blessed to be able to do.
Well, I love you, and we'll be back with more great
Exposing
wives.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Canadian lawmakers are growing increasingly concerned with the economic impact of the truckers protesting the government's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. The Freedom Convoy first began in Vancouver on January 23rd. Then hundreds of big rig trucks traveled to Ottawa, where they were joined by thousands of Canadians on Saturday in protest against Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's coronavirus policies. Yesterday, the convoy clogged up the Ambassador Bridge that links Windsor, Ontario to Detroit, Michigan. As the self-induced border crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border continues, the Biden administration wants to put illegal immigrants into Baltimore, Maryland, and Houston, Texas, with an ankle tracker and curfew times. Republican Congresswoman Kat Kamick is a member of Homeland Security Committee. She tells Fox News Biden needs to follow the law.
My solution is simple. Follow and enforce the laws that are currently on the books.
USA Radio News.
Water. It's essential to life, but it's also something that so many of us here in America take for granted. Imagine how different your life would be without access to clean water in your home. What if you had to walk to the nearest creek, stream, lake, or pond to get water? Suddenly, going to work and school wouldn't be an option, because you and your children would have to spend your days collecting water. This is the day-to-day reality of most families living in the world's poorest countries. But what if I told you that you can change that reality for just pennies a day? Through our water projects, Food for the Poor is working to meet the need for water in 17 impoverished countries. But it won't happen without you. Incredibly, it only takes $15 to provide a child access to clean water for life. $15, decades and decades of access to water for a child. Give the life-changing gift of water now. Just text USA Radio to 91999. Text USA Radio, all one word, to 91999.
Surprisingly, with all the stay-at-home orders from the current government over the past 2 years, birth rates have actually declined.
Births in the United States didn't fall as much as expected due to the pandemic, according to CDC data. The United States saw roughly 7,000 fewer births through the first 9 months of 2021 compared with the same period the year prior, according to provisional data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Center for Health Statistics. The numbers reflect conceptions that occurred roughly from April through December 2020, a period that includes the first part of last winter's COVID-19 case surge, which started in October 2020 and waned by February 2021. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
President Biden will meet in a roundtable today with CEOs of electric utilities to discuss his Build Back Better agenda. We are USA Radio News.
Hard to find a more appropriate song for Valentine's Day weekend than Cupid there by Johnny Rivers. And it's great to have back with us tonight Sarah Dye of Schooner Creek Farm. Sarah was with us for the first time, I guess it was about a year and a half ago, the fall or early winter of 2020, if I'm remembering correctly. I mean, it all does seem to blur together. But I will tell you this about Sarah. That was an interview that I enjoyed very much, and it's one that stands out to me. And again, one that I finally recall. So it's great to have her back on under any reason or capacity. But tonight with the Valentine's Day and the Ladies' Night special, doubly, I guess you could say. Sarah, thanks for taking the time.
Oh, thank you, James. It is so good to be back on the show.
Well, entirely our pleasure, that I can guarantee you. So I had reached out to you when I was putting together the lineup for tonight, and I thought you'd be a perfect fit for what we're talking about, which I guess the overall theme is fostering healthy relationships and growing healthy families, but in your case, quite literally, with what you're doing there with micro farming and organic farming. Tell us a little bit more about your work up there at Schooner Creek Farm, and then we'll get into the particulars.
Yes, thank you. I'm a mother of three boys. My husband and I have been together for almost 17 years, and we have always been passionate about healthy eating and healthy lifestyle and living close to the land. And years ago, we had a goal of starting our own homestead. And from that goal over the years, a small business grew out of that. So we became what's referred to as market gardeners. So very much small scale, kind of a homestead, but also small business growing organic vegetables and herbs and flowers and selling those at local farmers markets and to restaurants. And that business grew over the years. And, you know, regardless of the future of that business, we will always continue to do that because it's just so rewarding in so many ways. I mean, I could go on and on, but that's kind of a summary.
Well, I would ask you to do this. Give us the website, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's ways that people can support you. You're not only deserving of the support based upon the produce and goodies that you have there, but also for the very righteous stands you've taken as a family over the course of the last few years, which people may know about. We're not going to be getting into that tonight. But Schooner Creek Farm, how can people look it up?
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, so schoonercreekfarm.org is our website. And we also are on pretty much all of the main social media platforms, including Telegram. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Telegram under Schooner Creek Farm.
And if you're curious about the spelling, I know this is radio, not television, so we don't have that cry on going across the bottom of the screen. Schooner is S-C-H-O-O-N-E-R, S-C-H-O-O-N-E-R. We'll put it up on our Twitter, Schooner Creek Farm. Actually, if you go to our Twitter tonight, we have Sarah's handle linked, and there at her link or her handle, you can link over to her site, and we encourage you to do so. So again, Sarah, we're talking about, of course, strong families making strong nations. Well, quite literally, we need our families to be strong. What we put into our bodies and the nutritional value that it has certainly goes a long way in making that happen. So how many acres do you have there? I know you call it a micro farm. It might not be as micro as some of us living in the suburbs, but what kind of land are you working with, and what kind of produce are you able to grow there, and how much of it? It looks like it's always a bountiful harvest at Schooner Creek Farm.
Thank you. Yes, indeed it is. And so we have 3.5 acres, and our vegetable garden is less than 1 acre, probably about a half acre that's in actual production of vegetables. The grassland that is around in the other acreage and the shrubby wooded area we've used in the past to graze sheep and goats. We also raise a flock of anywhere between 15 to 70 chickens, you know, just year by year, depending on how involved we want to get with the egg laying and poultry raising. So you really don't need much space to produce a large amount of food. As I said, if we're strictly speaking of growing vegetables and herbs, half acre is our garden, and that's enough to grow a majority of our own vegetables nearly year round. And we are in Indiana, so that's an agricultural zone 6 for those who are researching those things. In addition to growing the majority of our own vegetables and herbs from that garden, we have enough to sell, you know, that makes it worthwhile enough to do business on the side. We utilize a technique, I guess I would say, that's called like intensive planting. So there is rarely an area of the garden that is empty. Nearly every square foot is in production at some time or another. As soon as a crop comes out, for instance, in the springtime, when the radishes are done, we immediately amend the soil and add, you know, a little bit more organic matter, fertilizer, compost, mulch, and things like that, and immediately plant the next crop in. And that process continues from about early March going through the end of November. So there's a lot that you can do, and I certainly would want to encourage people, you know, to learn more. You don't have to, you know, you can very much start small. It's so important, especially when you have children. It's such a wonderful educational thing for the children, and you know, fosters independence and resiliency in the children and in the whole family. And you know, I also feel like it's a great way to become anti-fragile, which is a phrase that has become pretty popular, you know, among our people in where we find ourselves in our current struggle. Becoming anti-fragile is important, and that just essentially refers to being as resilient as you can to whatever might be thrown your way, whatever challenges might come your way. And, you know, just yesterday I brewed up 3 different pots of soup, and it felt so good to be able to go into the pantry and pull out shallots and onions and garlic and canned tomatoes that are more flavorful than anything you could find in a grocery store. And these are all things that came out of our garden last year. So every little bit that you put by helps, and it's something you didn't have to go pay money for in a store. I did want to mention.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No. You go ahead. I'll keep my thoughts. Finish yours.
Oh, well, I just wanted to mention that I do think over the years, kind of being involved in our movement, I have been, especially in the past 2 to 3 years, really pleased to see that this is becoming very popular, and more people are taking up gardening and homesteading, and even just growing food in pots if they are living in a city or suburb. So I love to see that this is becoming popular among our folks.
I think it definitely is, and I'm going to touch on that a little bit more after this next break when we go into our second segment with you. But what you have been saying is really fascinating to me because you're letting people know that, hey, you don't have to have one of these industrial farms. You have just a couple of acres. You can grow enough produce to not only sustain your family or at least go a long way to sustaining your family, but also having enough to take to market as you've done. And that's just with, I say just 3.5 acres. 3.5 acres would be my wife's dream. We've always talked about getting a little land and doing something like that. But how do people go about doing it? I doubt it's as easy as saying, I want to go out and grow things and have a wonderful food. I have a black thumb. So I can remember trying to garden with my grandfather, who could actually do it quite well. And he had, you know, a couple of acres. But I would buy those plants that you can get at like Walmart that have the tomatoes already fully grown. And I couldn't even keep them alive. So that how do you do it if you're not if you're interested in doing it, but don't think you can? What are some pointers? Now, this could probably take up the bulk of an hour. Where would you send people to learn the basics of a sustainable garden?
Oh, yeah. Excellent questions. So first and foremost, I do want to mention that a friend of mine and I started a blog and podcast a couple of years ago called Hearth and Helm, and that is a huge focus of the project, is that we is homesteading, essentially, and gardening and that sort of thing. So I would certainly want to plug that for people if they want to follow up or send us an email or see some of the previous podcast episodes. I would also say, too, James, that my expertise is certainly not in container growing. There are some people who are excellent at that. I wouldn't be able to give a whole lot of advice there because I have been fortunate and blessed enough to have real ground, you know, to work with, I should say, and actually planting things in the ground. And then also, James, I wanted to say it's not your fault that your full-grown Walmart tomato died, because when we buy when we buy plants from those big box stores, they look so great because they have been injected with a steady stream of Miracle-Grow. And so when you get them home and they're actually experiencing, you know, real weather and real living conditions, they do tend to die. Do you want me to continue, or is there?
I do. But you probably hear this music. You know, you are great on radio. We got to get the information for Home and Hearth, and we'll do that when we come back. But we do have to take a quick time out. Sarah Dye, Schooner Creek Farm, with us for another segment right after this.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
The CDC just reported that 7,218 people died after receiving a COVID-19 shot. Granted, vaccines are a complicated concoction of chemicals, and as with any medical experiment, it can take a long time to get it right. This is not the first time people have been hurt when vaccinated. What is different this time, and so concerning, is the reaction to these death numbers. Let me explain. In 1976, the government vaccinated 45 million people for swine flu. A total of 53 people died after getting that shot, and the U.S. government immediately halted the vaccination program. Why? Because authorities decided it was too much of a risk. Why would they halt the program back then for 53 deaths, but now, with over 7,000 deaths, they are using every method possible to force it on you? In fact, now the health authorities are using their power to silence anyone who dares to question the COVID vaccination. Why? Why is anyone that questions COVID silenced? Even doctors are being censored. What's up with that?
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. Vote Bundy.com.
Does he love me?
Oh,
no, it's just a
welcome back, everybody, to our very special Valentine's Day weekend installment of TPC. It's Ladies Night, and what a collection of ladies we have for you here now with us, Sarah Dye. And during the commercial break, I want to let you know what I did. I went straight to SchoonerCreekFarm.org. There you can learn a little bit more about the vegetables, herbs, flowers, and eggs from the family farm of Sarah and her husband, Schooner. Remember the spelling, S-C-H-O-O-N-E-R. Schooner Creek Farm. Sarah, what you said a moment ago, right before the break, I want to be sure to plug that as well. So it's an interesting thing and an interesting question. As you said, I think people returning to the land is a growing trend, particularly within our more traditionalist circles. And you have a podcast and a blog that I believe you said can help better inform them as to how they can make the best use of their property, particularly if they're looking to do some of the things we're talking about this hour.
Yes, absolutely, James. Hearth and Helm is the project that my friend Carissa and I started. And it is a mixture of homesteading and natural living and health and vegetable gardening, child rearing and mothering, all of these things, and a dash of politics. While we do try to keep it, mostly white pills or happy things, there is a little bit of politics in there here and there, but if people are interested, they can certainly go check it out. I did want to also elaborate more on my answer to your initial question about kind of where people should consider getting started with all of this, and it can be very overwhelming. I would certainly recommend, just first and foremost, looking at what kind of soil you have. If you have clay soil and it's very heavy and it tends to hold water, people might want to consider incorporating organic matter. And when I say organic matter, I mean things like autumn leaves and straw and hay, things like that into the soil can help loosen it up and aerate it. If you have loamy soil, which is well-drained soil, then you're quite lucky in a lot of ways. However, you could experience mineral loss, so you might want to check your mineral level by getting a soil test. And so with that, people should go to their county extension agent. Like look into your local 4-H/county extension agent. They'll be able to help you get a free or cheap soil test. And also, the first step I would recommend to people is to pick out your area where you want to have your garden and cover it up right now. Just cover it with a tarp if you have to, or sometimes people will get a hold of billboard tarps or old silage tarps, which can be purchased from local farmers, and cover that area and start smothering out the weeds. That will go a long way for you in the next growing season. You can also cover the area with something a little bit more aesthetic and still get a great effect if you want to use something like leaves or straw. But you want to cover it with a thick layer, and that will smother out the weeds and draw up the earthworms as we're coming into springtime and that sort of thing. And mulch is a gardener's best friend. Mulch is not, when I say mulch, I don't mean the expensive kind that you go buy at the gardening store. I'm talking about, again, straw, hay, or fall leaves or other natural materials. You do want to, or wood chips. Wood chips can be, you can typically get wood chips for free from local arborists as well, who might be happy to dump them on your property for you to use. With that, you just want to make sure that there's no black walnut in the wood chips, because black walnut has components in it that inhibits the growth of vegetables. So those would be probably the key factors to getting started. And I don't know if you want me to continue with that, or if you had another question.
Well, I did want to ask you this, and all of that is wonderful information and certainly next level information. But the purpose of, well, certainly this show tonight, but I think in general, we all need to be seeking to have a balance, to balance mind, body, and spirit. It's important to have the right ideas about the issues of our days, the political nature of it all, to be right of mind and to be sound of mind. And we certainly try to help people along their way there with this radio broadcast, but to be solid in spirit and have a connection with the eternal, to be solid in body, which, again, the nutritional benefits of what we're talking about now are obvious. But I wanted to ask you this, talking about gardening for recreation and its therapeutic value, putting one back in touch with the land and in perhaps our agrarian past. What could you say about that? Above and beyond farming for the food value, recreation and therapy.
Oh, yeah, those are excellent points. Something that's become very common is rehabilitating veterans who have suffered from PTSD using horses and being out and working, you know, with their hands in the soil. And that sort of thing is good for everyone, regardless of, you know, what you're experiencing. It's very grounding and, you know, just being out in nature, being out in the sunshine, experiencing what it feels like to physically labor all day and feel tired from that labor at the end of the day. And, you know, your food tastes better. You appreciate just sitting down with the family even more and relaxing. And it's really about living kind of a full life, I think. And it is certainly good for mental health as well. There's not enough good things I could say about it.
You know, this is, and by the way, I want to just tell you again, I don't know how much radio you've done. I know it's your second time with us. I know you've been around. You say you have your podcast. You've done just a fantastic job. I mean, so well presented and well spoken. But this is the Valentine's Day show. Well, you're welcome. This is the Valentine's Day show. And of course, you're thinking Valentine's, you're thinking couples, you're thinking husbands and wives and love and all of that stuff. I would ask you this. You were mentioning just a moment ago, you've been with your husband for 17 years. My wife and I have been married just a shade under that. You have three kids. We have three kids. Talk about the benefits of this type of work and how it's bonded your relationship. I think that's going to be something. We have a multi-generational audience and people who are at all stages of life and love, people who are dating, people who have been just married, people who have been married for years, people who are raising children, people who are empty nesters. So I'd like to ask each of the ladies tonight, with again it being Valentine's Day, in addition to your the specific topic that you were brought on to talk about, and obviously with you it was the farming, but has this helped benefit your relationship, and what tips could you give people listening out there with regards to finding a quality mate and fortifying a marriage that may be even decades old?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I mean, first and foremost, when you're out working in a garden together, you're not using your phone. You're not staring at a screen like so many people find themselves doing too much today. So you talk, you know, and some of our best conversations have been had while out working in the garden together over all of these years. And, you know, we've had certainly had some triumphs and trials. We had a terrible flood a couple of years ago that wiped out one of the prettiest gardens we had ever put in. It was devastating and it was sad. But you know, you get through those things just as you get through any challenges that arise in marriage. And one of the things that my co-host on our podcast and I talk about a lot is that a lot of times when young people are setting out and getting married, they're told a lot of things. They're given a lot of advice. But one of the things that is never mentioned is that it's not, you know, your marriage is not always going to be in the honeymoon phase, and that there are different seasons to life, just as there are different seasons to your garden. And it is certainly something, when I say it, I mean marriage, it's something that is also cultivated. So it is a fantastic analogy, but also, you know, beneficial. Get out there and work in a garden, put your phones down, you know, experience the challenges, brainstorm together, troubleshoot together. And when you're out in your garden in the evening after a long day watching the sunset, it's really special to know that you worked so hard to create something beautiful, you know, because as you said, it goes beyond just a crate of tomatoes or a crate of beets. It's that you made something beautiful. You know, you create beauty, and we have to create beauty wherever we can these days in this increasingly dark, dark world that keeps trying to creep in. So,
well, that's a wonderful answer. And that, again, is driving at the heart of why we're doing this show, why we're taking a night off from the standard fare to focus on these things, because we don't solve the problems that are plaguing our nation with, again, I say this at the risk of being redundant without strong families. And this is this is all part of it. Now, you mentioned the podcast. My wife is saying that that's a podcast, right? How my wife wants to listen to your podcast. So how can people find it? You've mentioned it twice. And of course, we want to plug SchoonerCreekFarm.org one more time. Buy a mug. Why don't you support Sarah Dye and her husband and their family with what they're doing? We need more families like this. But how do people find the podcast?
Thank you, James. It's Hearth and Helm, and I would say Telegram is the place to go. We are actively posting daily on Telegram. We also have the social media following there, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And the podcast is on YouTube, DLive, and BitChute.
All right. They're everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. They're far more places than we are. We're just here, these AM radio dinosaurs. I'm a Luddite, as I always say, when it comes to all of the social media. But that's where you can find them, and find them we want you to do. Thank you so much, Sarah. Look forward to talking to you again very soon. Again, appreciate you taking time out of your Valentine's Day weekend to spend a little time with us and our audience. My best to your husband and your boys, and Godspeed.
Thank you, James.
Much more to come, ladies and gentlemen. Still a quartet of fine ladies forthcoming tonight, and you'll hear from Kim right after this.